He can do is miracles in our life. Amen. No secret to that. We've seen Him perform miracles, haven't we? If you're saved, that was the greatest of all miracles. Amen. I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3 as we stand to our feet. Philippians chapter number 3, and we'll begin reading with verse number 12. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 12. Paul, of course, is writing here, and he writes these things through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. And I want to preach tonight on the philosophy of the high road. The philosophy of the high road. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us, and we look forward to what you have in store tonight. Our hearts have already been stirred by the wonderful music, and children, and adults singing, and choir. But now we come to the time for the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, this is that moment that you brought us to, and I pray that we'll be ready to receive that which you have for us. I pray we'll be strengthened by it, and I pray that we'll go further because of it. Help us to hear from thee tonight. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. Lord, may I have the power of the Holy Spirit rest upon me as I preach these things. Lord, I pray that thy precious will be accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, testifying of his desire to accomplish all that God had for him to accomplish. Paul had many things to his credit. There's no doubt about that, that we would look at and we would say he's attained his life's mark. He's accomplished what he should have accomplished. And many times, people that have done certain things in the Lord's work think that there's a stopping point and that's it. They just go and then there's a time they resign or they retire. But I want you to know that any stopping point that we come to in our life means that there's a new starting point. There's never a time to stop in the Lord's work. There's never a time to throw in the towel and doing what it is that God wants you and I to do. And we must realize that. God has a purpose and God has a plan. And every time that we come to a place where we have to stop, we have to realize that that's a place where we start all over again. Something new and something fresh and something different. And Paul says in verse number 12 that he wanted to get hold of that for which Christ had gotten a hold of him when he said that I may be apprehended for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, I want to give my life for God's will. I want to give my life to do whatever it is God wants me to do. I have one purpose in life, and that's God's purpose for my life. Dear friends, if we're ever going to do anything, then we have to have that kind of an attitude. I said this morning, it cannot be business as usual around here any longer. We can't keep going the way we're going. We've got to grow. We've got to step out by faith. We've got to do some things. And it's going to cost us getting with it. We can rest on the things that this church has accomplished in the past if we want to, but dear friends, if that's what we're going to rest on, we might as well close up shop and go home because it will not keep going the way it is. This is not an act of desperation. This is just saying that God has a purpose for us here and at this time, and we need to be doing what it is God wants us to do. God didn't put us here for no reason. God didn't leave us here for no reason. Verse 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know, he looks at that with all that he'd done. He writes that, I'm not apprehended. I'm not yet arrived. Now, I look at Paul and I think, Paul, I want you to look at all that you've accomplished. I want you to see all that you've done. You've done this, 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 and this. You've suffered for this. You went through this, and you've been criticized here, but you kept going. Look at the churches that Paul was in on getting started through the Spirit of God. Look at all the people that Paul had won. Look at all the young preacher boys that was under Paul's ministry. And I look at that, and I think, man, if there's anybody that's accomplished a lot of things, and Paul says, I have not yet arrived. And a lot of times we begin to think we've arrived. We begin to think, you know, we've accomplished it. We've done with our life what we want to do. Well, you know, I'm getting a little bit older now, and I've already accomplished everything I need to accomplish. I want you to know, as long as you have breath, you still have something to do for the Lord. And those of us that are younger and we still have a long way to go before we can say we've accomplished anything, we need to get busy. And we need to get it done. The last part of verse 13, he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul says? He says, I'm not going to rest on my past. I'm not going to look at my past accomplishments. He says he's going to forget those things and he's going to move forward. And so many people always want to talk about what they once did in their lives. And thank God for memories. Thank God for precious things we have to remind us of our past. And memories are great, but if we're still alive, then there's more for us to do. And God will reward us for our past work for Him. There's no doubt about that. But we have to put it behind. We can't rest on that and think that we've accomplished it all. And we have to reach forth into those things which are before. Now we come to the text that I'm going to use in just a few moments for the message. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we read this, we can picture Paul running a race. And he says, I'm pressing toward the mark. That's the goal. I'm pressing toward the goal that God has for me. And I want you to know that in the Christian life, the goal is always God. God is the goal. He's to be the goal of my life. He's to be the goal of your life. But that is the goal for our life. And Paul says that he's pressing toward the mark. In other words, he's stretching himself. Can you imagine? He says, I'm forgetting the things that are behind me. I'm not worried about that. I'm pressing forward and I'm stretching myself out. You've seen a runner in a race when they come down to it and they stretch themselves out trying to stay ahead of it all. And he says, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm stretching myself out. I'm giving it all that I've got. I'm doing all that I can. And he stretches himself. He's determined to do his best. And the prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that we should be on the high road. We should be doing our best for the Lord. There's a lot of people have heard this that are here. I've said it before, but some of us have been influenced by this. But the high road is not choosing between the good and the bad. The high road is choosing between the good and the best and always choosing the best. That's what the high road is all about. And tonight, I want you to think about it. It's not doing what's easiest, what's the simplest, but it's pressing ourselves. It's stretching and doing our best and choosing the best in our lives. My desire as the pastor is for this church to be on the high road, to press toward the mark, to stretch yourselves out, to accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish. I'm going to give you four areas tonight that we need to be on the high road. And there's many more that we could talk about, but I've come down to four, and there's others that could have been a part of this. And I want you to get a hold of it. And I may preach another message along the same lines. But we need to be on the high road in our message. In our message. It's very important that we keep the pure message of the Word of God. Will you look with me at the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4? 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, and verse number 1. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's instructing Timothy, and he's giving him great words of wisdom. But then here he exhorts him, and he says, I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Dear friends, I want you to realize that we're living in a time where the Bible is being preached less and less. People are no longer want the truth. They desire a feel-good dialogue, something that will just help them to make it through and make it through life day by day and make them think that they're all right between them and their Maker. But I want you to know, we must preach the Word of God. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, preaching the Word will reprove, it will rebuke, and it will exhort. And I believe every message ought to reprove, rebuke, or exhort, and sometimes it may do all three in the same message. We need some men of God that will have some backbone and preach the right message. Not take the low road, but take the high road. The way we reprove and we rebuke and exhort, the Bible says, is with long suffering and with doctrine. You know, a lot of churches have thrown doctrine out the door, haven't they? But if we're going to choose the best, if we're going to take the high road, then we must preach the word with long suffering and with doctrine. We must press toward the mark. We must stretch ourselves and be sure that we dig in deep and find the truths of God's word and reveal the truths and to preach the whole counsel of God. Every message that we preach must be God's message from God's word. And it's vital. And I try to be sure that the preachers that we have in this place are the right kind of preachers. There are preachers that are popular preachers in our crowd that I'd never have in here. Because they're not so given to the truth as they are to making a name for themselves. Any preacher that stands behind the pulpit trying to make a name for himself, dear friends, is a farce. We're trying to make a name for the Lord Jesus Christ and lift Him up, aren't we? We're trying to be sure that we have the message, and the message is pure, and the message is true. And tonight I want you to realize that I have a responsibility in preaching the truth. And I have preachers in, and sometimes they may hit a wrong note. I've always told you, if that happens, just go on and listen to what they have to say. And we'll deal with it the next service. Right? Something I have to talk to him about, I'll talk to him in private about it. But we're going to take the high road in our message. Our preaching is going to be a high road preaching around here. By the way, high road preaching is not, it's the message, but it's declaring that we're to be right. In other words, as a pastor, sometimes I have to take a stand and say, this is what we're supposed to do because this is what God's Word says, or this is what God has led me to do. You know? If I'm not a Spirit-led pastor, then you don't need me. And if you believe I'm the pastor for this church, then and you see that I'm trying to follow the Spirit of God, then you ought to be willing to follow me. I'm nobody. But I am called of God. I'm saved, called of God, and He's called me to pastor, and He's brought me here to this church and to this place to lead this church, and I have that responsibility. So we're going to take the high road in our message. The second thing I want us to look at tonight is the high road in our music. In our music. This is vital. I want you to look with me, if you will, the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And see what the Bible says in verse number 16. I love this verse when it comes to dealing with the music of the church. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now there's no doubt as to how vital the role of music is in a worship service. And the Bible says here, according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, music is to be rooted in the word of God. It is to be doctrinally correct, And it is to be sung with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Now, I love music. I love it. And as your pastor, I have responsibility to make sure that we have the right kind of music being sung by the right kind of people. I want you to understand this. The right kind of music could be sung, but if it's sung by the wrong kind of people, then a spiritual song becomes unspiritual. You know? It's like having a country music singer in to sing country western gospel. And then they sing about booze and drugs and all that otherwise. And they can sing Amazing Grace, and they may sing it well and sing it beautiful, but it is not a spiritual song when it's coming from an unspiritual person. And by the way, sometimes a person may not be able to sing as well as some others, but if they are singing with the grace of God in their heart and they're singing the right kind of music, it'll move people in a greater way than those that have great talents and great abilities. It's important for us to understand that. We're going to take the high road in our music, though. Now look, I've tried to encourage us in our church to press or to stretch ourselves in the area of music, and you know that. I was listening tonight as you were practicing a song, and some people says, well, I don't like that kind of stuff. But you know what? If we just stayed settled where we are, then we'll never go forward. It's time to stretch ourselves. We're not going to sing something that's not doctrinal. We're not going to sing something that's not biblical, but we're going to sing the truth. And sometimes you need to get over just being able to sing I'll Fly Away all the time. I like I'll Fly Away. But as I was listening to that, I heard you, and you were fighting through this, and we were fighting all these things. And I began to realize that, you know, we have to stretch ourselves sometimes. And stretching ourselves is learning new songs and coming to understand that there's music that's out there that's greater than some of the songs that we've sung for many years. I like the old music, and I want to stick with it, but I like encouraging ourselves to go another step. We've learned new songs, and we've seen new things happen. And I've enjoyed watching as our choir has grown and learned to sing things. And I know it's been a struggle sometimes. And sometimes we've had to say, all right, that one's not for us. That's all right. But it's trying to do our best. It's trying to work and to do what it is that the Lord would have us do. And as I try to lead our church. And some have asked about the new hymnals. Now, I chose to get the ones that we had put because it was put together by a Baptist church. Has songs in it. And by the way, the old hymnal, it was a Church of God hymnal, and great songs in it. I'm not going to sit here and say that, but it was limiting us. And the songs that we're singing now that was in the old church hymnal, we're able to sing most of those, and now we're able to sing some new songs. We sang two tonight that was not in the old church hymnal that are great songs. Great is thy faithfulness. So the old hymns of the faith. The church hymnal stamps back to us a convention book. In other words, it's a book that a lot of times quartets will sing, a lot of those songs. And I'm not against the church hymnal. I want you to understand, I'm not against it. But taking the high road is choosing between the good and the best, and then choosing the best. And I looked at it and I thought, here's something that we can extend ourselves, and we can still sing some of the great old songs, but we can add to our singing. And sing some of the good songs that we've missed out on. There's good songs in both. But many of the great hymns and the gospel songs of the faith were not in the church hymnal that I really felt like would be a blessing and a help for our church. Many of the songs had word changes that did not exist in the original writings of the songs. And so I just thought about that. And I thought, let's go the high road and do what we need to do. And I've tried to be led by the Lord in determining certain aspects and philosophies concerning our music. And I've asked God to help me with it. And we have preachers come in. This last year we had in our Bible conference, they said, y'all have some of the best music we've ever heard in our lives. I was so encouraged by that. Look, I know some people around here probably don't like everything. But you know what? Some people may not have liked everything before. That's just the way it is. We all have different tastes. But we have to be adult about it and realize that we can extend ourselves. And there are some things that some people like and some that others like. Some don't like this, some don't like that. But sometimes we just take it and we go on with it. And we sing songs from different different things, different ways. And it's sad, isn't it, that some people get their feelings hurt over scriptural music? It's not right. It's immature, and we need to not allow that to happen. And my desire is for us to take the high road in our music. I think about music. I think about what Raymond Barber said, and it's one of the greatest statements I've heard. He wrote, "Singing is upward, not outward. It is worship, not words. It is edifying, not entertaining. It is to be amened, not applauded. And when a song is sung, it should draw men heavenward." May the Lord help us to take the high road in our music. And the third thing I want us to look at tonight, we've talked about our message, we've talked about our music, and I want to talk about our money. Taking the high road. The Bible says in the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, verse 9 and 10, "You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God has given us His plan so that the church would be able to accomplish its purpose. And to take the high road in the matter of the money begins by being a faithful tither to the local church. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I've given order, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." You know, some people give, but they do not tithe. Giving's good. But the high road is tithing, because tithing is best. That's God's plan. That's God's way that He works. And if everyone that comes to our church faithfully would faithfully tithe, I want you to know our budget would always be met. And that's God's plan for our church. That's how He works things out. That's why He brought you here. And that's why He gave us what we're supposed to do. And, you know, I'm not asking you to do something I don't do. I don't preach a lot on giving. I know. You know, some preachers I've heard preach, they'll preach every other week on giving and trying to beg people to give for this and trying to beg people. And I really work at not doing that. But I will never ask you to do something that I do not do. Never. I tithe. I give to Faith Promise. I give above and beyond our tithe. I give special offerings every week. We give between 20 and 25%. Now, I usually wouldn't say that. We give between 20 and 25% of our income back to the church. Now, some people give more than that. Some people monetarily give a lot more money than we can afford to give. But that's what God has put in my heart to do. We've chosen to do that. Taking the high road begins by being a faithful tither and then moving on as God puts in your heart to do these things. That's taking the high road of money. It's choosing between the good and the best and then choosing the best. And when we choose the best, God blesses us. And God takes care of us. And then finally tonight, I want to talk about taking the high road and our motivation. Motivation. If you will, I want you to look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 14. I'm going to read the first part of this verse because it says so much. "For the love of Christ constraineth us." So many Christians are looking in the wrong place for the motivation. You want to know what ought to motivate us tonight? The love of Christ. That's what it ought to be. We look to other people and we find motivation. We listen to messages and we find motivation. That's great. But as a believer tonight, the thing that ought to move us more than any other thing is the love of Christ in our lives. It ought to constrain us. It ought to motivate us. It ought to move us. It ought to strengthen us. The love of Christ to us, the love of Christ in others, and then the love of Christ in us ought to help us to be motivated. You know, every sermon I preach doesn't have to be a rah-rah sermon. And it should not be that a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or whoever it is comes in should have to stand behind the pulpit and try to beg people to serve the Lord and try to motivate them to serve the Lord. The love of Christ ought to motivate us enough. And as we're motivated, it will help others to be motivated. There's no doubt about it. But as we're motivated, as the love of Christ constraineth us, it'll catch hold with somebody else, and you'll begin to see others serve the Lord because they begin to find out, I'm looking at this, and they have the joy of the Lord, and there's something about their lives. And it's when we take the high road in our life as a Christian, we choose the best. We choose not between the good and the bad, but we choose between the good and the best, choosing the best. And we decide that Christ is going to be the deciding factor of everything we do in our lives. The words we use, the way we act, the way we react, it's going to be Christ. How would Christ do it? What would Christ have me to do? What does the Bible say about this? And the Word of God, what is it? That's what ought to motivate us. That's why we ought to read the Bible each and every day of our lives and ask God to use His Word to strengthen us for that day. We're looking at so many things. You know, they have all these different seminars that you can go to that'll motivate you, but if we'll just get into the Word of God and we'll listen to the preaching of the Word of God and we'll find the things of God that are precious to us, then we'll begin to see that we have all that we need to constrain us to serve the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, back in our text tonight, Paul writes and he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." And then he says, "Brethren, be followers of me, followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Now, when Paul writes this, he wasn't lifting up his own dedication to the Lord, but he was using it to help us to see that we can be motivated by others that have the love of Christ, that are working for God. He says in verse 17, "Follow me and others that are on the same course, others that have the love of Christ." See, God has given us everything we need to move us closer to Him. His love, His Word, His servants. And all of this to help us to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. The high road. There's a philosophy on the high road. And that philosophy is to get better every day. To do things better. To work in our lives, to not be the same today, but not to go backwards, but to go forward. Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Tonight, I just desire in my life, I want to be a high road Christian. And I want our church to be a high road church. And I want us to see God working in our lives. I want to see us do things to a greater degree. I want to see God work in us in such a way that every week when we come to church, we feel closer to the Lord because we've chosen the high road. We've chosen to walk with God. We've chosen not to gripe and to complain, but to find that we're going to do our best for God. And if we're not able to do what it is we think we ought to do, we're just going to work at it and let God get us to that place in our lives. Hope that you'll join me tonight trying to take the high road in these areas of our life and our message. Pray for the preachers that preach and teachers that teach and our music, that we'll just extend ourselves. Do the best we can in our money. We'll be faithful in our tithing and in our giving as God blesses us. And then find that the thing that motivates us is not circumstances, but the Savior. Seems like we can work for the Lord when we're excited. But when we go through a dry spell, we kind of quit sometimes. And I think some of us have kind of quit a little bit lately. Been a little discouraged, a little defeated. But tonight we don't need to be looking at the circumstances. We need to get our eyes back on the Savior and realize that He has a work and a plan for our life. Amen. And if we'll get in on this work and this plan, He'll take us to higher heights, greater heights than we could ever imagine. Let's not stop at what's just good. Let's choose what's best. The only way to do that, the only way to get to where it is God wants us to be, is to take the high road. Remember the old song, you take the low road and I'll take the high road and I'll get to, where was it, Scotland? Before thee? Before ye? I'm going to tell you what, in the Christian life, it's the high road. It's choosing the best and doing our best for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your love. I want to thank you for liberty to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that we've taken heed to what you placed in my heart. Lord, we realize that days are difficult and the times are hard. But Lord, we also realize that we can keep our eyes on thee and look unto Jesus, the one who started us out on our faith and the one that will end us this life of faith. Lord, as we do, we can choose to do our best for thee and find great grace to give us strength for our days. We'll thank and praise you, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.